Get the Angel Reese special at McDonald's now. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. Sound good?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating restaurants for a limited time.
Friends, I would do it again. I have to be candid with you. I'm not trying to in some way insult you. This is a matter of principle. This is a matter of conscience. There are people suffering in this country because they don't have health care. I'll close with this. On some issues of matter, that are matters of conscience, it is better to stand alone than not stand at all.
Well, you didn't stand at all. You had a tantrum. You had a tantrum on the floor of the House. And I read yesterday that he's already looking into, and I don't understand this, drafting articles of impeachment for some reason. Now, I want you to consider this. So he was removed from the House floor by who? By Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson. And Speaker Johnson did what? He called for the Sergeant at Arms, asked the Sergeant of Arms to remove Al Green, and Al Green's response is, that damn Trump. He's a meme at this point. He's just a walking, talking meme. And I'm still trying to kind of understand why they think that this is helpful, especially after you had POTUS, who just gave this address, right? Had this address, and their response isn't, wow, you know, when he told us, looked right at us and said, maybe we should focus on tax cuts and all of this stuff. You know what? Let's instead of doing that, let's focus on impeaching him. Because, you know, if that, first off, it's not going to go through the House again, even though Republicans have such an unbelievably narrow majority. It's just not going to happen. There aren't enough Democrats this go around to make this work. There's just not enough Democrats. Number one. Number two, I think that even some of the leftiest Democrats among them are going to run from something like that for the simple fact of optics. Because what have we been talking about on the program for, you know, God knows how long? How they are not normal anymore. You have the party of freaks, the party of men in women's bathrooms, the party of high taxes, the party of what inflation, the party of let's keep giving our money to Ukraine. And then you watch everything burn down in Maui and in the Carolinas and even in California. Because of all of that. And all they have to do, again, oh my gosh, why is this so hard? All they got to do is just be normal for the love of all things. Holy my gosh. They can't even do that. They can't even just, you know, not do this stuff again. It didn't work out for you last time. Why are you trying it again? And if anything, they're just going to make the voters angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier. That's what's going to happen. So they can sit here and they can do all this stuff. That's all well and good. But in the end, it's not going to get them a single thing except voter rage. Voters are going to be upset because they're not getting what they asked for. Voters are going to be mad because they're going to look at Democrats. Oh, here are Democrats playing around again. You know, they're just playing around, not doing anything serious. Just this, I'm so tired of this stuff. And I swear to you, if I have to deal with another flipping impeachment case, oh, help me God, I can't deal with another one. I can't deal with it anymore. It was stupid the first time around. It's going to be dumber still now, especially because we're going to talk about this. The video here coming up that you didn't see it because you have a life. I'm sorry. Because you got a life and you do productive things. You didn't see it. Well, Democrats made a video for you. We got to talk about it because I don't know. It's just to help us all. I can't even. So welcome to the show. Top of this first hour, Dana Lash with you. And like I said, a lot of stuff to touch on because we got a lot. We've got Ukraine. We've got all the latest with Ukraine. We've got this. He's signing a bunch of executive orders today, too. I think it's at 1 o'clock. Isn't that right? I think so. Two Eastern, one Central, I believe. And we'll take any remarks that he gives about that. We'll make sure that we'll air some of those, because I'm curious as to what I like his commentary when they hand him the little things to sign, because he comments on all of it. So we're going to have that for you as well. Get into all of that. We're also going to touch on the latest, again, with all the Democrats. And I got a warning for you on 2028. A big warning for you on 2028. Not enough people are paying attention to this, and they should. And so we're gonna discuss all of that. So in the meantime, POTUS today, executive orders coming in, and the Department of Education. This is the stuff that you need to do right off the bat, before all the midterms start, because he's ordering Linda McMahon to start dissolving the Department of Education. This is per The Hill. So the EO on this is for her to take the necessary steps to shut it down. This was something that he put through earlier this week. He's signing this afternoon. It's going to direct her to begin dissolving the Department of Education. Maybe everything can just go to the state. Now, the interesting thing, and this is per The Post in the Wall Street Journal, the executive order was one of the things that he was immediately focusing on during the transition. So as it pertains to the Department of Education, so this was something that he was looking at way before he even got into office. And it recognizes in the EO that they don't have the authority to abolish the department, and that, you know, there's it would likely take 60 votes in the Senate. Republicans only have 53 seats, so it's not going to happen unless Republicans only have to pick off a couple of Democrats for it. But they're asking her to take all the necessary steps to facilitate this closure. And that's so they're starting it. So you're going to hear a lot more weeping and gnashing of the teeth from Democrats on this. And because they're looking at it like, oh, he's going to dissolve the Department of Education. Look, he's going to do this to the Department of Education. He's going to dissolve it. You know, what have we gotten for it? I mean, I think that the results speak for itself. What have parents gotten from taking the administration of their children's education literally out of their hands and consolidating it all the way in Washington, D.C.? You can't say that it turned into a strength for us. That's not something anybody can say. So I think that this is one of those moves that's going to go right into the heart of what the coalition is on the right. So all the independents and moderates, for them, this is their issue, their big issue, education, to be able to have this and serve this as fast, even if it's an EO that recognizes that they don't have the authority unless it goes through the Senate, still, that's going to be a really good optic for people who are, they need a little something after all of their efforts post-November, right, leading up to and after. And I think this is a great way for that to happen. He's using these executive orders in a very interesting way, too, because it's not just him trying to get ahead of Congress, get something set, and then demanding that Congress immediately go behind him and do it, which he is. But it's also challenging. I think it's very much outboxing Democrats. And it's really putting the onus on them. It's really challenging them. I mean, you saw the act that all of them, I mean, they couldn't get one Democrat to support the protection, the women's and sports bill. You couldn't even get a Democrat to stand up and support. It was insane. So it's making it, it does. It makes him look like he's doing a lot of stuff, which he is with the EOs. But at some point, that balance is going to get a little off balance, and it's going to start looking bad if Republicans don't make it permanent, which we've talked about ad nauseum. And we're going to continue talking about it because we got Carol Roth on later to talk about some of the tariffs, the tariff plan. And I really feel like they need, POTUS should do like a rally that focuses specifically on economics. He should do a rally that specifically focuses on that and he can get out there and he can have it like a World War II vibe, right? But without like doing, you know, have a, you know, like victory guard, something like that, like that whole aesthetic. He should do an economic rally where he's explaining this, you know, to people. Have the OJs. Are the OJs all alive? Kane?
Good question.
Did you think I would be asking you, hey, Kane, will you Google for me while we're on it? Can you Google for me? Are the OJs living? Not the Simpsons, but, you know, they could have them play, you know, Money, Money, Money. Just, he could have them play.
No, it doesn't appear that.
Well, maybe a cover band. Just saying, there's a lot of stuff that could happen. I know I'm like, okay, rallies are rallies, but I really think that one of these would be super beneficial to people, right?
Yeah.
Because it's going to get tough, and he needs to come out and say, follow me into this, and I'm going to bring you out on the other side. I cannot stress to you how much more important that is than the Taint Bros and all of the other stuff that's out there just serving as a distraction. This is so incredibly important because I am really watching. I'm telling you, I'm hearing from, I had a lot of friends and family because, you know, guys know I was raised by Democrats. I had a lot of people that I'm related to who voted for Trump this last time around for that reason. So most, a lot of them, the sports thing was, you know, a little lower on the list of priorities, but every single one of them, they really wanted action here. They believed that Trump was the one to handle the economy, and they still believe it. But I don't want that faith to get rocked because there's a storm coming in 28 and in 26. We're going to talk about that here coming up. We've got headlines on the way. It's our friends over. It's the Non-Firearm. It's the Burn-A-Gun. The Burn-A-Gun is, well, it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs, doesn't care about any of that stuff. The Burn-A-Gun is a great way to diversify what you have already for your weapon, for your weapons. I have friends, and when I first heard about it, I had a friend who lives in D.C., and they have their license. It's really difficult to get one of those carry licenses in D.C., but my friend has it. And unfortunately, they're not able to carry it like in 90% of the places because the municipal and private property and all that stuff. But because of the nature of their work, they have to walk to their car late at night sometimes. And that's pretty dangerous, especially in, you know, high crime city. So they went and they got a Burn-A-Gun. They got specifically the SD. It's their best selling model. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. When you compare it to average stun guns are what, one or two rounds? The Burn-A-SD offers five. And there are different models. This is the most popular one. You have instant readiness. There's no recoil. And again, five-round capacity. This is a great way to diversify. I mean, you carry knives. You carry blades. So this makes sense, especially in those kind of difficult areas. Again, doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. No waiting period. No background check. It ships right to your door. Right now, you can get 10% off of your purchase. But the only way to do that is to go through Byrna.com/Dana and see everything that they have. BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
New York State has a new recruitment process for Democrat voters. After DOGE's purge of the federal workforce, Governor Kathy Hochul is recruiting federal workers to move to New York. Does she really want employment or just more votes?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So 538, as soon as, of course, they get rid of Nate Silver, 538 just goes to hell. So it gets the axe. ABC News slashes jobs in a major shakeup. Insert joke about learning to code. Just saying. So they got a major, because you know what? You're going to see this more and more. Okay, here's my, try not to be on the conspiracy theory bus. And I hit my mic as I talk with my hands to an insufferably annoying degree. Because people are tired of legacy media and the digital consumption is now fully kicking off. And so the way that people are consuming news is changing, or they lost all that USAID funding, the USAID funding, and they got to cut jobs. I'm just saying, it's, you know, I'm not saying, but I'm speculating. It's probably still not a great idea to vacation in Mexico. We had we had friends who invited us. I've never been to a tequila tasting, and I'm like, I really don't want to go and get my hands chopped off and be found on the side of the road in a bag. Although I'm sure there's still some psycho stalker killers out there who would like that. Nine students disappeared on a holiday. They were tragically found dismembered by the side of the road, along with a literal bag of their hands. It was in southern Mexico. There were Mexican nationals, but they were on their way to, you know, basically across the country for a beach vacation. Initial assessments showed bullet wounds, signs of torture. It was the four women, five men, ages 19 to 30. They were all in the trunk of an abandoned car with their hands in a bag. And they were all nine students, and they were reported missing. They were found. It's just horrific. I'm just saying, Kane, I'm just, you know, yeah. Apparently, they say swearing is linked with increased pain tolerance and strength.
Hell yeah.
Just saying, I don't have any vices but that one. That is definitely a vice that I have, and I'm not going to lie. Trying to, you know, new year, new me, you know, trying to, you know, stop. It doesn't make you nervous. Stop it. It's so ridiculous. But they said that it's not a near, obviously near universal feature of language. It's still considered not societal, you know, not socially correct. But they said that there is, they've noted in psychology that there's something like those outbursts like that do something for the human psyche. And they're like, they think it's related to pain reduction. Is that why you would have like weightlifters go, you know, make those noises? I'm thinking there's something with it. I think they're right. Dysentery, which always killed me in the Oregon Trail. Dysentery. It's on the rise in Oregon, of all places. Yes, it's the diarrhea-inducing dysentery is making a stomach-churning comeback. They said it's a hyper-contagious bacterial disease. It surged in a couple of different counties. There was one where 40 cases were reported alone. They said they're trying to get a handle on it, but just, you know, maybe don't be dirty. I don't know. Like, I don't really have any idea of how do you not do, like, don't play with feces? I mean, I've like, really, what? I don't understand how people get it. Are you drinking puddle water? Like, stop it. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. The folks over at My Family Pharmacy, this website has saved me more times than I can count. I mean, my health, my actual literal health. I was sick over a holiday. I think it was like Thanksgiving. I had a host. I was getting strep throat. The urgent care was like a crazy, I couldn't even get into my ENT. All Family Pharmacy helped me out. I got my azithromycin. I got it overnighted, and it immediately started helping, obviously, with my symptoms and sickness, helping with, you know, the super sore throat, all of that. They have over 200 different medications, all of the antibiotics that they have. It's all made in the USA. I don't know anywhere else where you can say that, but you don't have to worry about quality and safety with All Family Pharmacy. You can always be prepared. It's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. They got straightforward pricing, and their shipping is just 2 to 4 days overnight, also in a pinch. Your health is always within reach. So order from the comfort of home as well. I mean, they can deliver right to your door. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off, but you got to use promo code Dana10 to unlock that discount. Dana10, allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
Illegal border crossings plummet dramatically in Trump's first full month on the job. Another study proves a higher minimum wage is bad for businesses, customers, and employees. And Andrew Cuomo is officially running for mayor of New York City. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the 3 Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the 3 Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sir, who do you think the leader of the Democratic Party is right now?
I think the voting public right now is what I would say.
No, they're not.
And I keep telling that. We're not going to have a charismatic leader ride in here and save us from this. And I would argue.
I mean, I don't know how high he has to be in order to believe that, but, you know, Tim Walz, I bet he was smelling burning tire with his wife, Gwen, burning tires, and I don't know, maybe the chemicals. Maybe. The actually looking straight at the camera and going, yeah, the voting public is the leader of the party. Remember the voting public that we actually didn't really allow to vote on our candidate? Yeah, that's them. That's them right there. Okay, a warning about 2028, and I already see it happening. 26 is going to determine a lot of this. And I know everybody's already like, golly, Dana, stop talking to me about elections. Guys, somebody's got to, because Democrats already are. The smart ones are already planning. The dumb ones, and we'll talk about that in a moment, they're making videos for TikTok. But I saw that Gavin Newsom gave an interview where, and it was brilliant the way he did it. And I don't like saying these nice things about him. They're not nice about him. I'm just simply remarking on his strategy because I'm not a fan, obviously. But I think that people underestimate him. And that is very dangerous. He is, so this is going to be a weird observation. He is the type of guy who strategizes like a woman does. Does that make sense? Kane, does that make sense to you?
It does, actually. He
doesn't approach issues like a man does. Men approach issues typically more head on, right? They just confront them. They deal with it. Women are different. We employ subterfuge. We use misdirection. Definitely more, it's a little bit more performative. And we just have a very different, women are more underhanded and we have a more underhanded approach. And the most dangerous people in politics are the men who operate in that same way. They're dangerous. So he has that quality. Imagine if like Claire McCaskill was a dude, right? And had a little bit more success in elected office. Very similar. He's a good strategist. And I know we make fun of it. You know, we make fun of him for going to French Laundry and we make fun of him for probably using too much hair product and the rail to nowhere. He's got all this stuff in his baggage. He's got all this. But he also knows how to read the room. And he's doing that now. We laughed at him a year ago when he tried stepping up to DeSantis and doing, oh, well, you're the Florida blueprint, we're the California blueprint. He did that very purposefully. And I think DeSantis moving out and doing it the way he did was kind of a way to thwart Newsom, right? To thwart him. So the whole thing with Newsom and the way he's approaching this, he does this interview, and he's been talking to a couple of different media outlets and doing some podcast stuff. And he's got his own podcast now. He launched his own podcast. And he is acting like he's moving to the center on the trans issues. He was saying that he thinks it's unfortunate, that it's deeply unfair, is how he said it, for women to have to deal with men competing in women's sports. Now, he's only just saying this after you're well past the election. He's saying this well past, he's fundraising, filing, things like that, and well before midterms. He's trying to... This is what they do. They run to the middle. He is making a deliberate play for independents and moderates. The people who looked at Democrats and were like, oh my gosh, these people are freaks. I'm going to the other side and voted. And I know I talk about this a lot, but I'm trying to drive it home how unbelievably important this is. This is their strategy. It has to be. This is the only thing that they can do. They're so far left, there's nowhere else to go. When Tim Walz says that the voting public is, those are the people that lead the party, he's so wrong. The establishment freaks lead the party and they led it away from the voters. Remember the saying, this was back, I think it became popular to say when Reagan became a Republican. And was it Reagan who said, I didn't leave the Democrat Party left me, or something to that effect? There are a lot of people who feel like that right now. And those are the people who went and voted for Trump. They voted and they became part of the coalition. They're not necessarily like party animals, but they went and they voted for Trump and voted for the right. But that doesn't mean that that claim is forever, right? You might have them one election cycle. If Republicans don't mess it up, you may have them two. And that's what Republicans need to be focused on, which is another reason why I'm so mad they're not moving these spending cuts in fast enough. So to my point, enter Newsom. Newsom sees this. Clearly, he's been trying to make a play for this for some time. He's tried other strategies. He's recognized they didn't work. And so now he's maneuvering into a new presentation. Oh, yes, it's bad, the trans stuff. Well, that's something that you can even get hardcore lefties in California to agree with you on. It's something that you can get hardcore righties to agree with you on. It's something that you can get the independents and the moderates to agree with you on. It's you are right there on the sweet spot of the issue, and he's making that his big thing. You know, his podcast, he comes out with his first thing. That's his big issue change. He's making himself more palatable to a general audience. He's going to continue doing this slowly but surely until he has reinvented himself. So then he'll watch midterms and see how midterms happen. If Democrats aren't the problem here, Republicans are. If Republicans can't even bring these bills up, if they can't even sponsor these bills that implement the cuts that we voted for, those people that Newsom is now soft targeting, he's going to start coming in with moderate economic proposals. It'll be soft on it, but it'll be just enough where it'll hook their interest. And then he'll reel them in with these other issues. You watch him go soft on the border, at least for a Democrat. He's going to start talking about more border security and the importance of it. He's going to make it look like he wants to free his party of the radical establishment. And he's going to act like he wants to bring back some moderation and bring the party more back to center. He'll talk about it to represent the real Americans. He might even use the phrase the classical liberals. And he's going to bring all of this out in the media because they don't have anyone else. Who else do they have? Andrew Cuomo is still too far away to be considered prime for rehabilitation. He's thinking about running for mayor. He's very slowly trying to work his way back. He's not ready yet. May never be. You've got Klobuchar, right? Nah. You've got Beshear in Kentucky, who's going to be Newsom's biggest competitor. Beshear's a Democrat in a red state, and he's been able to kind of mansion it. He knows how to toe the line. He knows how to balance on both sides. Newsom also has a formidable war chest, and he's got all of the biggest donors in the Democrat Party. They're like either his family or lifelong friends. He knows all the people who make all the ads, everything. Do not underestimate him. He is the biggest threat as a candidate to Republicans for 2028. He's got the name recognition. He picks his fights smart. And he's already moderating. And people think that they're getting him for an interview. He's getting you for an interview. He's using you to help build up his new retconned history. Now, don't think that he's going to hold these positions. I mean, heaven forbid, if he gets elected, guess where he's going? Right back. Right back. But not all the way back. He'll walk it back just a little bit to try to rope in those radicals who are going to see him as, yes, he's not radical enough, but he's the only one we have. Moderates and independents will see him as, well, we don't know what we're going to get after Trump, and we don't want crazy, so we don't know. Maybe we'll reconsider. It is going to be the perfect time for them to say, consider coming back. Come back home. That's going to be their whole slogan. Because after Trump, who is it? It's not certain. Nobody knows. And if it is anybody that is not going to be able to deliver or doesn't have a record of delivering, these independents and moderates, they're going to very easily float all the way back. So Republicans need to figure out how they're going to deal with this. They need to start now. They can't do what they did in 2012 and not pay attention to all the warning signs and all these troubled districts and stick their heads in the sand and then, oh, election day, maybe we should do something. They got to get ahead of it. So I'm telling you, he's super. There's several politicians that are coming up. Lorraine accurately notes Wes Moore in Maryland, too. He's another one to watch. You got Bashir, you got Moore. There's maybe like four, with Newsom included, to kind of keep an eye on. But they're very slowly and very quietly rebuilding their bench. And they're going to reinvent themselves, and they're going to do it with bells and whistles that you would expect from a party that has close ties to Hollywood. Are Republicans in 28 going to be ready? And I know that it seems like it's so far away. It's not even 4 years away now. And then what happens if Republicans can't get it together right now and you lose midterms? Then you're going to be operating from a hugely disadvantaged position. You have to be two elections ahead of these people every single time. Everything that is happening right now is going to determine that. This right now is the test period for this coalition. It wasn't able to stay together after Reagan. I hope everybody realizes that. It fell apart after Reagan. There was a kind of a micro one in the 90s with Gingrich and his contract with America. And then there was a little bit of one that came together again in the Tea Party days in 2008. But it fell apart after that. So how is the right going to maintain it? I don't actually have the answer to that. But I cannot warn people enough about this. Cannot warn people enough. Audio soundbite two, real quick. This is what Tim Walz was saying about these town halls. That the town halls, by the way, are absolutely astroturfed. But I want you to listen to how he's leveraging them.
There is going to be an organic uprising, which we're seeing out of folks. And many of those are independents at these Republican town halls.
They're making the play now. I don't think Tim Walz is going to be any kind of character in any sort of future administration. But right now, he's a dispatch. They're dispatching him for messaging. Telling you, this is a very interesting thing to watch. We've got a lot coming up because we got to talk about the move. Now, there was a lot of discussion about Trump and Ukrainian refugees, et cetera, et cetera. A little bit different from what actually apparently is being looked at. So we're going to talk about that as well coming up. We're also going to get into the BlackRock at Panama Canal and tariffs with Carol Roth. We're going to be talking with her. And then later, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton will be joining us. So pretty big show. We've got a lot planned for you today as we move. Our partners that help bring you this program, Gold Co. You guys know I love gold and silver. It's tangible. And during the president's first term, gold surged 53%, silver 51%. Precious metals could potentially break new records in 2025. So protect your wealth with gold and silver today. They stand the test of time. At DanaLikesGold.com, you can get your free 2025 gold and silver kit today and qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, maybe even more. Safeguard your savings with this free 2025 gold and silver kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Join the thousands who've already called Gold Co. the number one rated gold company. And you can get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit and qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Public education, from defunding it from a federal level, and then all setup that is ongoing. It's a recipe to make education unavailable to Black people. And where does that then leave us? It puts us back to when America was great, and we were picking cotton and all of it. We're doing the productivity that they're putting. My Latino brothers and sisters who migrate here to do that work, because we are not suited intellectually to do it anymore. But they would have us back confined to doing that kind of work. So we got to watch out for where we are headed. And it's the people that will.
I feel, did we accidentally just get super drunk? What did I just hear? That's Hank Johnson. He is now, in his defense, he also thought that Guam would tip over.
I'm not sure that's a defense.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
Hold up. No one spliced that together? That sounds insane. It's like he caught himself and he just kept falling, right? Just tumbling, just grabbing onto these branches, you know, just tumbling, just falling down a hill. He's trying so hard to, you know, he's, and you know, because we're not, you know, capable of doing it. You know, we're not. Oh, he realized how bad does that sound? I got to put myself down now. We're not smart enough and all that. Like, why does that, where, why do Democrats go there? You, I mean, it was almost like he was saying, we have to, I mean, is he saying you got to replace slave labor? Is that what he's saying?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh. The, who is the guy, the younger guy in the little box above him who is laughing, who is smiling really big because I could tell he's trying not to laugh.
I don't know who that is.
There's a couple of points.
There should be a name on there. It's too blurry to see.
Yeah, it's like. Too blurry to see. I and the other women are just staring at him like, who leaked that? Someone on that call had to leak that. They had to think this man is crazy. We've got to keep that. We got it. No, he's crazy. That is a really, it's weird. What he's saying is insane. I mean, good night. Why? That's where Democrats always go every single time. Like what we got, well, I don't know if we have time to play it, but we'll come up with it. There's, they, I mean, we've got audio. They say this all the time. They go back on, well, if we're talking about immigration, they, you know, who's going to do these jobs here? Do you realize how racist these people? Is there no self-awareness? Oh, my gosh.
Who's going to plunge our toilets?
That cut makes me so... I was cringing. I was, like, wadding myself up into a ball while he's saying it. It just was so painful. Oh, my gosh. I just... All right, coming up in our second hour, they're now saying that it was a slur, what Trump said to Elizabeth Warren at the joint address. Yeah, they are. So we must discuss this. We're also, we've got Carol Roth is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour as well. The latest with Ukraine, we're watching for these executive orders about the Department of Education. Meghan Markle's new horrifying show. That and so much more. Stick with us, our partners over at Tax Network USA. This is an organization, a great entity that's going to help you with your tax burden because they're firing people at the IRS, but not fast enough yet. And, well, you know, deadlines are coming up. IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, and they just operate knowing that they just don't like you. Getting ahead of anything, if any of this is a smart move, but never, ever, ever contact the IRS alone. Oh, never. Turn it over to the team at Tax Network USA because all they do is sleep and then eat and then fight with the IRS. That's all they do. That's all they do in life, those three things. Don't wait. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Talk with a Tax Network USA strategist, 1-800-958-1000 or tnusa.com/Dana. They have proven resolution strategies. Doesn't matter if it's $10,000 that you owe, $10 million. They have tailored strategies designed to settle your issues in your favor. They have a team of attorneys and negotiators. They've resolved $1 billion in tax debt already. they deliver for their clients with risk-free solutions. And these people know how to navigate the system. They know who to call and who to avoid. So talk with them today. Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 1-800-958-1000. Or visit TNUSA.com/Dana. Don't let the IRS's aggressive tactics control your future. TNUSA.com/Dana.
Our next question is from Aaron Gregg with The Washington Post.
These are those astronauts.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for doing this. So my question relates to Elon Musk has said that he made the offer to bring you guys back earlier and that it was denied. My first question is that true? And if so, what would that have looked like? Was he offering to make another flight, push seats on another flight? Could you give us some background there?
I can only say that Mr. Musk, what he says is absolutely factual. We have no information on that, though, whatsoever. What was offered, what was not offered, who it was offered to, how that process has went. That's information that we simply don't have. So I believe him. I don't know all those details, and I don't think any of us really can give you the answer that maybe that you would be hoping for.
Dang. So these are the two. This story fascinates me. These are the two astronauts that were supposed to be up in at the ISS for what, 8 days, and it's been a year. Yeah, it's been a while, and it's because the vessel that they were going to come back on, they had what I think it was the thrusters. There were some malfunctions, and they needed to fix it, and they couldn't figure out how to get back. I think it was the Crew Dragon capsule that SpaceX launched. That was like last fall. They were going to try to get it. To get them last fall, and they docked it apparently at the space station, and then apparently NASA looks like, did they stall the return? I'm curious. This is just a crazy story. Welcome back, top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. The chat's at Rumble, and of course we're on Channel 347 DirecTV, all kinds of good stuff. I think this is very interesting. Now it's a space drama. Because Biden's being accused of stalling this out for political reasons. I can't even imagine deciding to keep astronauts out there because of it. And they're stranded. I mean, that's, you know, they've been up there for forever, God love them. Sunita Williams and Barry Wilmore, they call him Butch. They've been up there. Their Boeing Starliner, that's the capsule that they were on, that's the one that malfunctioned. And they've been stuck up there. And so that was the claim that Musk had made, is that Biden stalled out their rescue for political reasons. Wilmore, he had denied in an earlier question, you know, that about whether politics had anything to do. But then when the reporter got more pointed with it, then he said, you know, well, I can only say that what he says is factual. That's great. Well, I'm trying to think, like, what would the political payoff be for Biden to keep them stranded? I would think that would be a win for him, right? Bringing home astronauts stranded on the ISS. So why would you not do that? I'm trying to figure out what the payoff would be.
I don't know.
Because you don't want Musk having that victory? Is that, that's the only thing I can think of. He didn't want to partner with Musk.
I think it might simply be that.
Really?
I mean, the only other thing I could think of is that they were so confident that it would fail that they didn't want that failure in their administration. I mean, there's... Literally, those are the only two explanations that make any sense at all.
That is so petty. That is so petty. So petty. They didn't want to have Musk having them. That's, I don't know. You know, the Biden's got issues. Did you hear the story too? Hunter Biden saying that he's absolutely broke. He asked a judge to drop the laptop lawsuit. He says he's millions in debt, that it's been worsened by the LA wildfires. I don't know how it's worsened. He was only renting the house that he was in. Wasn't the house that the Secret Service was in? I think that one burned down in the wildfires, the one that they had leased right next door. So he can't, nobody wants to buy his paintings, I guess, anymore. That was in Politico. They said Hunter Biden broke, apart from his dad, spared him from prison, but he remains saddled with debt. He was forced out of the home he was renting by the fire in the Pacific Palisades. He said he's got a grim financial situation. That came out of a court filing, saying that he struggled to sell his paintings in recent months, moving only one in the past 14 months. In the prior 2 to 3 years, he moved 27 paintings. He sold 27 paintings. He reported significant debt. Wait, sidebar. How many of it was that one wannabe Big Lebowski guy who was his lawyer and pot buddy?
Yeah, I bet.
Didn't he buy most of them?
He bought a lot.
Yeah. He reported significant debts, lackluster sales of his memoirs. I sold hell of a lot more books than Hunter Biden. He sold only 4,200 copies in a year. Wow.
Those are just bookstore orders. That doesn't mean that the bookstore actually sold them.
Wow. So, I mean, it's so shocking that Biden's art career ended the day that his dad left office. How crazy is that? I mean, I am marveling at the sheer coincidence of it all, Kane. Truly coincidental that now, because Biden isn't in office anymore, he's no longer president of the United States. Suddenly, Hunter Biden's spit paintings are no longer, guys, valuable.
Huh.
Nobody wants to buy them. So he's begging. He's saying he's broke. You know what? Maybe living in, maybe living in the Pacific Palisades, home, renting the home that he was, you realize he was paying, goodness, Oh, man. I mean, he was paying $15,000 a month. Oh, sorry, $16,000 a month. He was paying $16,000 a month. And apparently, I guess that house was burned down. And then the house that was right next door to it, which was also about $15,000 to $16,000 a month, we taxpayers had to pay that bill for Secret Service to live next door to him. Why did he think? He didn't need to even live out there. He didn't need to live out there to work or for any other reason. Why did he think that he could swing a $15,800 a month home, rent it, when his income is entirely predicated upon his dad's influence as president? I mean, he didn't even prepare. He was still in that house as his dad was, like, you could watch him lose the re-election. He didn't even have the foresight to plan adequately for what life after his dad not in office anymore, for what that life would look like. That's the other. He is one of the most irresponsible males I have ever seen in my life. Talk about a failure to launch. It's him. Oh my gosh. He's 50 something years old. He's in his mid 50s. His mid 50s. He can get like the Denny's early bird thing, right? And he still can't stand on his own. He's got to have daddy, merch out daddy, so he can make his money. This man did not need to live in a $15,800 a month rental. Talk about having champagne taste and a beer budget. He could have been living in a decent sized home, paying a regular mortgage or a regular rent on a house back where his family is in Delaware. But he didn't want to do that. He was trying to live it up. They think that they're this great dynasty. And that's, I mean, is that not just a Democrat for you? Now he's like, oh, I can't suffer the consequences of my illegal actions. So can we just throw these cases out? Can you imagine going to the judge? I didn't manage my money responsibly, and so now I'm broke. Can we throw the case out? Can you imagine going and saying that? Just shocking. Absolutely shocking. Where's this video? I'm going to show you guys. This is what Democrats, I'm sorry to do this to you. So they decided to make a cutie little TikTok video. The Democrats did. Specifically, some that I don't know, and who else? AOC, Jasmine Crockett. I guess they're trying to be Mortal Kombat. Can you just, I'm sorry. Can you play it? I hate this. It's so bad. It's so has their little descriptions in the bottom. Now, I have a question. She hates what? Not into hair dye. Okay, that's great. That's so awkward. Oh, gosh, so awkward. Why does this one have two sprained fingers? It's literally what it says at the bottom. Why does she have two sprained? This is so awkward. Someone said that AOC was in a room that looked like a Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper. And I thought, that is so unbelievably accurate. I can't even. John Hardy? Whatever. That designer and then Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper. Like, that is so perfect. I can't even deal with it. These people clearly do not know how to bounce. Jasmine Crockett was the only one who did it right. And the one chick who's throwing, she's going to break her wrist off. You know why she's got two sprained fingers? Because she throws a punch like a girl. That's why. I mean, none of these people did this right. None of them did. It's so awkward. Why are they so awkward? Just that. Well, she almost fell on her face. So bad. This is all they got. You know, I'm going to tell you, the Democrat Party, here's the hurdle. And I know I talked about their machinations for 28, but we talked about that last hour. This is the base of the party that's never going to give it up. So when they say pick your fighter, they're really saying pick who you want to fight to try to take over the Democrat Party. Because those are the hardcore progressive freaks that you got to fight through. And some people elect them, bizarrely. So those are the people that you got to fight. You got to fight through those people. I don't, I don't know. That seems they're never going to relinquish control of that party. They've got it, and Democrats are going to have to figure out how to deal with them. I don't know. So a couple of other things that we're going to be getting into as well. If you sign up over at Chapter and Verse, there's a lot of really good stuff up there, obviously. Lorraine's got a very timely piece on the activist judges. This one, this is Judge Amir Ali, and we'll talk about him more here coming up. This is the guy who's trying to argue that, you know, POTUS doesn't have authority to basically control the Treasury, even though it's under his purview. And he believes that he can order the federal government to spend taxpayer dollars on whatever, right? All of the waste, fraud, and abuse from USAID. And it actually spurred in their dissent, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Thomas and Alito. They said that in this quote, does a single district court judge who likely lacks jurisdiction have the unchecked power to compel the government of the United States to pay out and probably lose forever $2 billion taxpayer dollars? The answer to that question should be an emphatic no, but a majority of this court apparently thinks otherwise. I am stunned. Native Path Collagen delivers the two most essential collagen types that your body needs to support strong bones and flexible joints. Whether it's for a post-workout recovery or simply supporting your overall health, Native Path Collagen should be your go-to. With type 1 and 3 collagen without unnecessary fillers, you'll enjoy smoother movement, resilient skin, and the confidence that comes with looking and feeling your best. Native Path Collagen will help keep your joints feeling strong and your skin looking smooth. And best of all, Native Path offers incredible bundle deals that let you stock up and save big. You can grab a 3-pack or even a 6-pack at a fraction of the price compared to other collagen brands. It's just the perfect way to stay consistent with your daily collagen routine while keeping more money in your pocket. Visit getnativepath.com/Dana today and stock up on Native Path Collagen for an incredible 45% off plus free shipping. Every order comes with a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Florida's attorney general has opened a criminal probe into the Taint brothers, the Tainter, right? They were charged with human trafficking in Romania. Aren't there like charges that are actually still like open, like an investigation still open in the UK? There's a lot here. Anyway, the guy who describes himself as a misogynist and I think in his dreams a professional kickboxer. They brag about pimping out women, like all on video. And I can't even discuss half of what is because it's so nasty. But anyway, they're leaving. I guess they're going back to Romania. So they're also leaving. But anyway, that was announced yesterday or the day before. LA Times AI tool lasts just one whole day before it generated a sympathetic view of the Triple K. Right. Oh my gosh. So it was called Insights, and it would have op-eds and give you alternative viewpoints, and then literally one day, like barely a full 24 hours, they had to withdraw it because it started writing defenses of the Triple K, right? And they said that, yeah, well, you're gonna have to go back to the drawing board with this one. That's so bad. That's so stupid. Oh my gosh. An ancient skeleton found in a remote cave could rewrite human history. It's estimated to be 29,000 years old. That's insane. It's considered the oldest human skeleton ever found. It was in Thailand. And I really hate the Daily Star because the pop-up ads make me want to murder everybody.
They say it's like a kid or a child or a baby or something.
Yeah, but it's an old skeleton. I mean, they found it. I don't know how it's going to rewrite human history, though. I mean, it's an old skeleton. It's just, oh, it's real old. There you go. I mean, it's still a human skeleton. Very, you know, I don't know. McDonald's is giving its restaurants, oh, everything is AI, an AI makeover. They're using AI to target order accuracy. Can they use AI to fix their stupid ice cream machines? That would be great.
They can't do that.
I mean, McFlurry, sometimes you need it. And sorry, our ice cream machine's broken. I'm like, maybe AI could deal with it. But they're giving them a tech makeover. So they want to have internet-connected kitchen equipment, AI-enabled drive-thrus, and AI-powered tools for managers to improve customer experience and workers who have to deal with like wrong orders and all kinds of stuff. So they're trying to make it, you know, they're trying to streamline their business. I get it. And we talked about Hunter Biden being broke and he's begging people to, I know, to drop his legal issues. And then we also have California. They're considering letting hunting dogs attack bears. I don't know if I would want my dog to fight a bear, you know, but now they said that they want to make it legal for hunters to sick train hounds on bears, revising a state law that prohibits the hounding, the practice of using them, like black bear particularly. I don't know, just be careful with the pups. We got Carol Roth coming up next. Stick with us. What does living better mean to you? Is it more money, a bigger house? Now think about this. What about how you feel physically every day? Life is so much better when you feel good. When you wake up feeling great, you can do more of the things that you love and you're ready to take on the day. If pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help change that. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor supports your body's response to inflammation. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. And it's safe to take daily. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Feel better every day and you'll live better every day. Trying Relief Factor is easy. Get their 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or visit relieffactor.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this second hour, and you can listen coast to coast, terrestrially, Channel 347, DirecTV, and X, and Rumble, and everywhere else. Welcome back. So we've talked about this. The BlackRock thing, we talked with James Fishback yesterday about the, don't know if I entirely agree with him. Well, I understand his thought process, the Doge dividend. And then a huge win for one of our friends who regularly appears on the show. This was such a big win. And I honestly don't think that people would really be talking about this had she not been sounding the alarm on it so much. It's that Corporate Transparency Act, the thing that was forcing small businesses to have to register. And you guys know my good friend Carol Roth. It's Carol J.S. Roth on X, and her book, You Will Own Nothing, Your War with a New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. The recovering investment banker, haver of good hair, joins me now via Skype. Carol, always so good to see you. I just have to say major kudos to you for this CTA, getting the word out about this, because I had no idea about this until you started tweeting about it and talking about it. And I'm looking at it like, how did I not even know that this was a thing? I mean, we have accountants. I don't know. I mean, like, how do I even this? I mean, it's scary, but you helped beat it. I give a lot of credit to that to you. So congratulations. Tell people what that means now for business owners. They don't have to file with like the criminal division in the Treasury now, right?
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to thank you because you are one of the people who've lent a huge voice and platform to this consistently and early. And we've been talking about this for a very long time. This is not something that just sort of happened at the 11th hour, like some of the people trying to take credit for this are saying. But the reality is that this has been going on and there are a lot of people in the fight. But basically, the Treasury has a division called FinCEN, which is their Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. They go after terrorists and money launderers and cartels. And to prevent all that activity, they had the great idea along with Congress that small businesses should just register all the information for everybody who's an owner of their business or who makes a big business decision. Now, of course, financial services companies are exempt and big businesses are exempt because, you know, if you're trying to fight, you know, money laundering, you would want to have, you know, the mom and pop cupcake shop down the street do that and not like a big business. But the good news is we've been beating the drum. You've been helping on this. And Treasury, about a week ago, the 27th of February, came out and said, okay, you know, we're not going to enforce penalties, because that was the other side. The penalties were jail time and almost $600 a day and increasing. We're not going to enforce penalties, you know, against U.S. citizens. And we're not going to we're going to try and narrow the scope on this. And then that Sunday, March 2nd, they came out and said, OK, officially, if you are a U.S. citizen or a U.S. reporting company, that, you know, it's off the table. You do not have to do this. If you're foreign owned, too bad, but for U.S. citizens and U.S. businesses, that we are not enforcing. You don't have to register. You're not going to have any penalties. And we're narrowing the scope on this, which is great, except for the fact that it's not codified, because this was something that was passed by Congress. So we want to celebrate. We want to get the big win. We want to thank everybody who's, you know, been a part of raising their voice. I mean, I literally wrote a letter to the Secretary of the Treasury and, you know, went in front of Congress and all these things. But if Congress doesn't codify this, then the next time we get, you know, the next Biden, Kamala, Pete Buttigieg, whoever administration, you know, they're just going to turn this right back on. So it's very good so far. We do have another step. So you still need to pester your Congress people. And the other thing I've been asking some folks who are liaising with Treasury right now is to purge all the data from the small businesses who went ahead and registered anyway. Because that data is subject to, you know, hacking or misappropriation or whatever. So we still have a couple little tweaks, but this is really a huge victory for Main Street. And I think it's very consistent with both what President Trump and Treasury Secretary Bessent have said. They want to be champions of Main Street and they want to be champions of deregulation. So check boxes, wins on both of those for Main Street. Thank you for common sense returning. Thanks to everybody. Again, to you, Dana, for the platform. Great news. You don't have to do this now, but let's get this put to bed. Let's kill all the cockroaches in the nest and not let them come out again in the future.
Got to make it permanent. Talking with our friend Carol Roth. Okay, I got to ask you about, and I'm going to get into some of this other, we'll talk about the tariffs and then. I just need to ask you about the Panama Canal and BlackRock. I had a piece up. I wrote about this at Substack, and I literally cited you because you've written about this so many times and you talked about it in your book, because they were, I mean, did something change? This is what I'm trying to understand. Either BlackRock was like the only company that could be prevailed upon by the U.S. government to go in and do this because the national security concern was so great, or we like them again. I don't know. I don't know what to think, but I thought, I mean, are they better than the CCP? Are they the CCP? Where do you weigh in on this?
This is tough. So BlackRock, which is the largest asset manager in the world and has massive scope, sometime last year bought a company that invests in infrastructure. And through this subsidiary company, they saw infrastructure as the next big play. I think they saw the writing on the wall that, you know, their push for ESG was kind of coming to an end. And they were looking at where the dollars were flowing to. And if you remember, we had that infrastructure push by the Biden administration. So, hey, we're going to align ourselves with where the dollars are. And they bought this company that's what they do. So this was part of a purchase where they purchased not only ports in the Panama Canal, but in a whole bunch of other places as part of this kind of infrastructure company. So it sounds, you know, because, you know, we were pushing on this like this was, oh, the government sold them the Panama Canal or something. But it's not that. It's really an infrastructure deal that they were doing independently. And, you know, is that better for us? Probably on margin, yes, but it brings into question when you're talking about antitrust, when you're talking about too big to fail, when you're talking about having too much influence, why there's never kind of a focus on the BlackRocks of the world and why they're allowed to have their hands in so many things. So it's definitely something that was eyebrow raising. I saw the headlines that, oh, it was a victory for Trump. And just like you, Dana, and you're writing, the eyebrow went, I'm like, is it a victory? It's probably on margin better. But again, I'm sure a little questionable if they decide to go into, you know, some other next generation greenwashing infrastructure, you know, whatever it is that they have up their sleeves. So let's not forget their history, shall
we? Let's not forget the BlackRock background. Talking with our friend Carol Roth. All right. that you, because I know you've been so busy. This is like headline season for you because the tariff discussion, and I know what they're on one day, they're paused the next day. I understand the idea from some of our friends that argue this is just leverage. He's using it as leverage. And I understand that. However, we're trying to get out of being overtaxed. We're trying to get a handle on inflation. This is going to make it difficult. And I felt like during the joint address to Congress that the president could have maybe made that point. If you got to explain it to Americans, because it's not that they don't understand it. Some of it gets into the weeds. Some of it, you know, I have to read you to understand. And we just don't want to have to pay higher taxes on stuff when we already are paying higher prices on it because of inflation. And I worry about what this is going to do to midterm chances.
I think these are all very valid points. You know, my concern is that what people voted for, like you said, was price stability and general economic stability. And I also understand tariffs when they are surgical. Yeah. So now we've come in here in a very chaotic manner. The other thing that you and I've talked about before is that there are all of these tripwires in the economy that the Biden administration has kind of left behind because that's such a mess. And so we require this very perfect choreography. We require what I'm calling Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers to neatly dance around this very difficult situation. And I feel like what we've gotten is a bull in a china shop. Yeah. So, you know, it's a bit of a head scratcher. I understand the first time that he did the tariff threats, totally got it. And we actually made strides, right? We've had the border encounters have fallen off a cliff to the lowest level in years. We can declare a victory and we can move on and we can, you know, kind of strengthen our relationships with our closest allies who happen to be our neighbors here to the north and south while we're trying to deal with the China problem. And so the idea now that we're picking these fights on something that frankly really isn't that important, to put it in perspective, you know, think about our debt. We have $36.5 trillion in debt and growing. We have spending of $7 trillion, $2 trillion of that is deficit. So that's a wartime deficit, 6 to 7% of GDP. And, you know, we have all of this going on. Our GDP is $29 trillion. And of that, like trade to Canada, our exports are like $350 billion. So why are we creating this disruption and all of the, you know, kind of headaches and chaos and uncertainty at a time when we really should be focused on these other big dogs? Now, the only thing, and this may get a little wonky, but I'll walk you guys through it.
Yes.
The only thing I will say is in terms of these tripwires, two of the things that we were looking at that were really an issue at the beginning of the year were the yield on the 10-year Treasury was getting into danger zone territory and the dollar index, which is the dollar versus a basket of currencies. We know the dollar's not real strong against a bag of groceries, but against other currencies around the world, it was getting really strong. And these were creating issues for the administration in terms of being able to affect some of the policy changes they needed to and get our deficit down and whatnot. Well, what's happened since that point in time is that the dollar index has fallen pretty substantially. And we've gotten, you know, as of today, probably 50 basis points down on the 10-year Treasury as well. So they bought themselves some breathing room. But again, going back to the choreography, this is a very careful dance, because if all of this tariff talk trips us into a worse financial position, if it brings down the stock market, if it, God forbid, you know, accelerates a recessionary type environment, we're going to take in less, the government's going to take in less, quote unquote, revenue. And even with the DOGE spending cuts, that means we could have an equal or bigger deficit to deal with. And so it becomes a no good deed goes up, becomes unpunished scenario. And if the tariffs do stick, even though the dollars come down, tariffs do tend to raise the dollar versus other currencies. So it is this just kind of everything tied together, really difficult scenario. And most of the people I know, you know, very serious economic thinkers, understood the first phase, but are not understanding this right now.
Yeah.
And we want to be surgical. We want to do things for national defense and, you know, things where we're really at risk. But this kind of blanket on everything is very worrisome. And by the way, speaking of that, small businesses today, Alignable had a survey, 41% of small businesses are worried that they're going to lose revenue because of the tariffs. And that's almost half the economy. So again, not sure about the 4D chess on this one, just saying.
Yeah, I think I would have at least before even entering, and this is what I didn't understand about the timing or the order of what they were doing. Like, why wouldn't they do tax cuts first and give Americans like a steroid shot, for the lack of a better way to put it?
Yes.
And then maybe talk about tariffs. I don't know why the timing wasn't better with that.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page. Make the tax cut permanent. Do some of the deregulation. Yeah. Juice that side of the economy before we start dealing with these other things. And if you're going to deal with them, do them surgically and focus on China and maybe some of these other places first, and leave, you know, our friends over that are next door alone. We have a lot of things that we can do with them. You know, when you think about China, remember that in moving away from China, we've had a lot of people and companies move their manufacturing to Mexico to be in North America and to benefit us. We're talking about everything from medical device manufacturers to consumer products manufacturers. And of course, you know, some of the crowd's going to say, well, yeah, we should move them to the U.S. Okay, but we can't do that right now and produce at a dollar value that anyone's going to buy them. So this is a good interim step. This is going to take a while to turn this back. Battleship around, we shouldn't be creating chaos for everybody who's made those investments. We should be focused on the other stuff. And then that could be, you know, kind of at the tail end of, you know, once we have things a little bit more settled and we have more of a manufacturing base growing up and all those things, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. So I'm with you. Choreography is just, you know, a little bit chaotic at this point in time.
A little bit. Carol Roth for Treasury Secretary. That's all I'm saying. That's all. Yeah. Secretary Roth. That sounds so nice, doesn't it? Carol Roth, the book is You Will Own Nothing, Your War with the New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. Find her at carolroth.com/news and go there. That's where you can get her free newsletter. It's carolroth.com/news. Get her free newsletter. Learn some things. Learn math. It's great. Carol, always a pleasure. So appreciate you. Thank you for all you do and making economic illiteracy go away. We appreciate you.
Back at you. Thanks so much, Dana.
Thank you. As we move, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service. And they have the best nationwide coverage. In fact, traveling internationally, I've never had an issue with any of my coverage from Patriot Mobile. They operate on all three major networks, so you're connected wherever you go. And when you are doing business, especially with cell phone entities, you really need to pay attention to where your dollars are going, because all of these other entities that you pay money to, they all have these PACs, and they're spending lots of money either on gun control or wokery or some other nonsense. But that's not Patriot Mobile. You get seamless switching with Patriot Mobile. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your number, keep your phone, get new numbers, get new phones. It's all up to you. It's never been easier to switch or upgrade. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Have your money support your values every time you make a call, every time you text, every time you tell someone deservedly that they're wrong on social media. You can also call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service. You only get the free month of service, though, unlocking it with promo code Dana. That is the key. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, free month of service with promo code Dana.
How do we fix the wounds dividing America? Pastor Alan Jackson has the answer.
Well, I think the reason we've been silent for so long, while our country's been pilfered and pulled apart, is all of our groups have gotten little pieces of the pie. And we're afraid we'll have to forfeit our little special side deal, our side hustles. And so we just don't say anything. But we would all be stronger if we'd come back to the truth.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, I don't even know. This is the headline. A Florida man swallowed $769,000. I thought it was $769. No. $769,000 stolen diamond earrings from Tiffany. And he asked cops if he'll, quote, be charged for what's in his stomach. He's clearly an amateur jewel thief. And Jathan Gilder, He pretended to be a representative for an Orlando Magic player to gain access. And this is WFLA. The thief apparently ran out of the store with two sets of earrings, one 4.8 carat set worth $160,000, another 8 carat set worth $500,000, according to the outlet. He was stopped by the Orlando Police Department on the highway. They got him for resisting arrest, but they could not find the earrings. So they charged him for, but they were trying to charge him for theft. He spontaneously asked staff once he got into prison, once he got into jail, if he was going to be charged with, quote, what's in my stomach. And then they're like, okay. So they had to undergo a body scan. And that's when they saw that they had, he got some earrings in his belly. Oh my gosh. So they literally have to pass through his system. So do you get a discount on them? Is what I'm curious about. Like, how clean can you get them? And is there a discount? Stick with us, third hour on the way. The folks over at My Family Pharmacy, this website has saved me more times than I can count. I mean, my health, my actual literal health. I was sick over a holiday. It was like Thanksgiving. I had a host. I was getting strep throat. The urgent care was like a crazy, couldn't even get into my ENT. All Family Pharmacy helped me out. I got my azithromycin. I got it overnighted, and it immediately started helping, obviously, with my symptoms and sickness, helping with, the super sore throat, all of that. They have over 200 different medications, all of the antibiotics that they have. It's all made in the USA. I don't know anywhere else where you can say that, but you don't have to worry about quality and safety with All Family Pharmacy. You can always be prepared. It's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. They got straightforward pricing, and their shipping is just 2 to 4 days. Overnight, also in a pinch. Your health is always within reach. So order from the comfort of home as well. I mean, they can deliver right to your door. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off, but you got to use promo code Dana10 to unlock that discount. Dana10, allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana.
There are people who are charged with trying to find savings. So yes, it's an attack on government, but it's also an attack on this government. What I mean by that is it's an attack on this government that used to be headed by a black man. It's an attack on this government that almost elected a black woman to the highest office in the land. It's an attack on a government that has been more welcoming and more supportive of people who have come to this country in search for a better life.
Okay, so trying to save taxpayer money, according to Chuck's notes, Columbia professor Basil Smickel is racist.
That's what he said.
Does he know that Americans of various backgrounds all pay taxes? You know, black Americans also pay taxes. Black Americans also have their tax dollars wasted and abused and involved in fraud. So this argument that saving taxpayer money is racist is actually kind of racist when you think about it. Why is that always the last retreat of these Marxist fools? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour. Coming up, we'll have Attorney General Ken Paxton, the great Republic of Texas, joining us. I asked last night, I asked the internet, because I had some rare time to sit down and I was going to watch something. And I went to look and I'm like, I don't have anything on my list. I don't have anything to watch. I have no idea what to watch. The one thing that I was watching was 1923, but I mean, it's like barely cranking out an episode a week and I can't stand that drip drip. And I wanted all of them. I want to binge when I can binge. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I... And I've been watching, you guys know since lockdown, my kids got me into anime because everything was horrid and it was non-woke and don't stop, don't roll your eyes. It's not a cartoon. It's like more sophisticated than just like a cartoon and very non-woke and some, it's just really elaborately done, things you can't do in meat space. Anyway, I was asking for stuff because what popped up when I went and looked on Netflix, you know what show popped up? It wasn't recommended for me. It just said new because they know better than to recommend this. It was that Suitcase Girl show, the Meghan Markle show, her show where she pretends to be a chef. And I wanted to hate watch it because I don't like her. I think she's incredibly disingenuous and there's a whole thing. But I don't get into it. I do think that their wrecks. This show, oh my gosh, I maybe looked at, I couldn't make it through like 2 minutes, guys. She's a, not a very good actor. She's a very bad actor. And people have these tells that they give off when you know that they're full of it or that they're not being their authentic selves. And it's just weird. Like the stuff that she says, nobody talks about it. And she, everything that she, I know I'm in a cream colored sweater. Shut up. I'll be back to black later. But everything that she wears is like Nordstrom beige. And it's like they, she, it's like she tries to be stealth wealth, but really doesn't want to be stealthy about it. And they, I mean, she's doing this show. It's supposed to be a cooking show, but she doesn't actually cook. Like the other people cook, and then she just puts her hands all over everything and rearranges it. I watched where she took a bag of pretzels and then dumped it into another plastic bag so that it was prettier and then tied it up and was like, ta-da, chef. I wanted, you know what? I did this for you because we're friends. Audio soundbite 26. I just need you to understand how much I endure for you. Let's go ahead and do this. Oh, gosh.
I don't think anyone in the world knows that Meghan Markle has eaten Jack in the Box and
so
loves it.
It's funny, too, that you keep saying Meghan Markle. You know I'm Sussex now. You have kids, and you go, no, I share my name with my children.
Yes.
And that feels so, I didn't know how meaningful it would be to me, but it just means so much to go, this is our family.
Okay,
name.
Gosh, please let it pause.
Husband.
Pause. I can't. Wait a minute. Come back to it. Pause. Sorry, Juan. Juan's going to murder me. First off, she's going to chop her damn fingers off with the vegetables. I can't. But how many beige things can you wear all at once? All of the beige. I say this in a cream-colored sweater. I'm in jeans. Don't judge me. This is the only thing I have. It's not black. Stop it. Why? But do you have to wear all of the sweaters? Number one. Number two, that was a... Bitch, you know my name is Sussex. You know that that's what that meant. She's like, so funny that you keep saying that. Your name isn't actually Sussex. Isn't it Mountbatten Windsor? How do I know this? I don't know. Isn't that what the family's name is? Because isn't that when Elizabeth and Philip got married and Philip was mad that he couldn't give his name to his kids and they ended up being Mountbatten Windsor later? That's like actually their last name. County Sussex is the county that she's only been to like one time in her life and they don't even like them. They took that as the title. Your title is actually not your last name. But I don't... That... I can't... Okay, go ahead. The cutting of the vegetables makes me nervous.
Children.
Yes.
And that feels so... I didn't know how meaningful it would be to me, but it just means so much to go, this is our family name.
Oh, my gosh.
Husband and three dogs. It's not my...
Oh, my gosh, your fingers. What are you doing?
My bacon bread was...
I'm, like, worried about how she's cutting this stuff.
It's endlessly variable. Mm. And it's got a lot of magic in it.
I feel like you're watching me fall in love. It's very, very awkward. I'm so sorry. I'm blushing.
Meghan, I want to ask about your look.
My who?
Your look. Your look, Meghan.
Oh, my look.
Your look. Did I not say it right?
I don't know. I'm like way cooler than I am. I don't know what you're talking. My look. My look. She likes my look.
Your look.
Oh, my gosh.
Is this the banter
like one of my favorite
from the
things.
Show? So that was obviously set up. She's wearing a Louis Vuitton denim shirt. That's what the little V is there. And I'm like, seriously, that's like so not stealth wealth. That's like obnoxious. Anyway, they made kids party bags and they put in a Manuka honey stick, some seeds and like a little garden trowel. I'm like, what kid wants that? No kid wants that. You know what kids want? They want garbage pail kids. They want Sour Patch candy. That's what they want. They want fun stuff. They want like something they can throw at their siblings. That's what they want. And then there was one moment where she said, it's such a delight to be a present parent, and acting like she's so busy. I was rolling my eyes so hard. A friend of mine texted me and said, oh my gosh, I tried to stomach this and I couldn't do it. What is a present parent? You're raising kids. You know how many other people before you have birth children, although some people ask, birth children, raise them, or adopt children, raise them. They're present in their children's lives. They're there. What is the... I'm the present parent. And then she did this thing where she arranged fruit in a rainbow on the board. Who the hell has time for that? Who has time to? I'm going to cut up my fruit. If you love your children as much as I do, you're going to poorly cut the fruit. Maybe put some fingers in there. Poorly cut the fruit and arrange it into a rainbow on a platter. And then she was saying, well, you can just use a large plate. The stuff that she's, is this is like basic B stuff. I don't know what the aim of this program was, but it is one of the most cringe things because she is unaware of how horribly she comes off. She thinks the problem is everybody else. It's just so, that's not even her house. They rented someone else's house. That's not even her house. She rented this couple's house in Montecito, and that's where they filmed it. And so this is not even hers. It's just so terribly inauthentic. And everyone was saying, you're ripping off Pam Anderson, because Pam Anderson apparently had a cooking thing. She was ripping off Flamingo Estate, which is this like small business that's in Los Angeles, and they do candles and all this stuff. So she launched these products. She's got a crepe mix and probably some other mass-produced, you know, high-process stuff. And of course, her jams, her jellies that they had to keep changing the trademark for a million times. I mean, it's just so, this is not relatable. I mean, you can tell that she's not. I think she wants to be seen as being like a lifestyle guru, but you can literally see from her cooking skills in the kitchen that she's not. And it's okay to say that you have people that do this for you. Just be honest about it. Don't try to act to everybody else like this is stuff that you do day in and day out. Because nobody, ladies, can I get an amen? First off, you're not going to have your hair extensions all the way down in the fruit that you're cutting, number one. Number two, ain't nobody wearing white doing tomato sauce. No self-respecting cook is going to wear white and make tomato sauce. This is not happening, especially without an apron. Oh my gosh. I don't know. Like, I watched enough to where I didn't choke to death. And then I did this because you guys were tight, right? And I do this stuff for you as a favor. Don't subject yourself to this. Just scroll on past. It is one of the most inauthentic things I've ever watched in my life. You're not even interested in this stuff, Kane. I just don't know. Like, it wasn't even a proper, oh my gosh, what? So Juan has this, you can't see it, but I can see it in the monitor of her cutting. It's on a loop, her cutting things. And every time I look up, she gets like right there by her fingers. There's so many different parts of the show where look, she's trying to cut, like she was cutting a strawberry. And I legit thought she was about ready to slice her finger off. I couldn't even watch it anymore. I'm like, this is horrible. It's just so inauthentic. And oh my gosh, what in the world? What is she cutting? Onions? Oh my gosh. And you can see that she's just not even, I don't know. It doesn't look authentic. You're not going to watch this, and you like foodie stuff.
I do like foodie stuff.
I am uninterested 100% in this.
I would much rather watch the chef that she has make her family's food when the cameras aren't there. I would rather watch them do it, and then she can stand on the side and like wear her, you know, Laura Piana, like $2,000 culottes if she wants to. But oh my gosh, I can't even deal. It's just
Mindy Kaling. I'm a fan of hers. I
are you?
She's funny, yeah.
She like seems her. Obnoxious.
Yeah, I like that.
No, like in a woke way.
Oh, I hate that. But I don't get that about her.
Like, I think she said interviews and stuff before. And it's just made me not want to watch anything she's in. I'm like, I can't stand people who get off camera and whine. Like you're literally in probably a $1,000 denim shirt. Shut up. Like I'm just not even hearing you. All right. I watched some of it so you didn't have to. I'm not going to watch all of it. I'm not going to do a whole, I know everybody's doing this big hate watch viewing thing. I can't. I mean, I love you, but not that much. I can't. All right. We got more to hit. We have headlines on the way. And AG Ken Paxton is going to be joining us. Native Path Collagen delivers the two most essential collagen types that your body needs to support strong bones and flexible joints. Whether it's for a post-workout recovery or simply supporting your overall health, Native Path Collagen should be your go-to. With type 1 and 3 collagen without unnecessary fillers, you'll enjoy smoother movement, resilient skin, and the confidence that comes with looking and feeling your best. Native Path Collagen will help keep your joints feeling strong and your skin looking smooth. And best of all, Native Path offers incredible bundle deals that let you stock up and save big. You can grab a 3-pack or even a 6-pack at a fraction of the price compared to other collagen brands. It's just the perfect way to stay consistent with your daily collagen routine while keeping more money in your pocket. Visit getnativepath.com/Dana today and stock up on Native Path Collagen for an incredible 45% off plus free shipping. Every order comes with a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, this is ew. A woman was stung by a scorpion in Boston. Boston Logan Airport. She straight up got stung. My youngest son had a pet scorpion. What was it, an emperor scorpion or something like that? Called it Sherman. Because it looked like a tank. It was a black scorpion. They're weird. He wanted a tarantula. And I was like, okay, I don't want things that are hairy with lots of legs. Let's not do that. So we got a scorpion. Anyway. Oh, this is giving me chills. She got stung. She was collecting her bags. They have no idea where it came from. They wouldn't say if it was captured or killed or if it's like still crawling around the terminal. They have no idea where it is. I mean, they're not. Okay, this is going to be a dumb question. And if my son heard it, he would probably literally make fun of me and turn me into a meme. They're not like bees, right? They don't like, you know, ripped our butt out with our stinger and we're dead.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thanks. So they're trying to find it. They had like some experts come out, but they're like, oh, we're not too worried about it. I mean, I guess if you're okay and it's just mildly discomforting, that's okay. I mean, I can live with that, but it's still gross. What in the world? Why is this a story? They've been studying this. A percentage of people who pee in the shower has now been leaked in a new study. That's the headline. Okay. A quarter of Americans do it on a regular basis.
Really?
They have indoor plumbing, right?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I never did it.
I don't need to know this about you.
I'm just saying. I don't know how common it is. 25% seems like a lot.
That seems like a lot. But they said in the course of an average year, they said 30% of men do it regularly, 20% of women, according to this survey that they... This is the New York Post. A quarter of millennials say it's a daily practice. Thankfully, Gen Xers are like 13%. And in total, 45% of Americans relieve themselves in the shower throughout the course of the... I'm sorry, but wasn't there another story that talked about men and do they actually wash their legs and feet or do they let the soap drip down? So I've got like a million... This does not... Like, if maybe that's how you shower, then maybe definitely use the toilet. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is this? Let's not evolve backwards. Let's not do that. A man is suing his brother-in-law after he filled his belly button with super glue. The man says he's filed a legal claim against his brother-in-law. It was a prank. He poured super glue into his belly button while he slept. And the man says that he and his wife and family are furious. They took him to small claims court. He felt like he had no choice. They were at a family barbecue, ate a few too many beers, fell asleep without a shirt on, blah, blah, blah. His brother-in-law thought it would be hilarious. And he said it partially dried and it was stuck. They adhered to the skin. It was horrible. $1,000 copay for emergency room visit. $2,200 medical bill. He asked the brother-in-law to cover the cost. The brother-in-law refused. I got to feel like the brother-in-law's in the wrong here. Sorry. You need to help pay up, dude. Because that's lame. And also, don't get drunk and fall asleep in a hammock around family like that. What is the matter with you? Trust no one. You know, even at a family event, at a family barbecue, because, you know, I feel like maybe probably done something like this before. I am not reading this last story, Kane.
We're out of time. Anyway.
Thank heavens. Attorney General Ken Paxton is coming in to save the day because I'm not going to tell you about this Missouri man who tried to have a romantic evening with a train seat. Not making it up. Stick with us. Heaven help. Our partners that help bring you this program, Gold Co. You guys know I love gold and silver. It's tangible. And during the president's first term, gold surged 53%, silver 51%. Precious metals could potentially break new records in 2025. So protect your wealth with gold and silver today. They stand the test of time. At DanaLikesGold.com, you can get your free 2025 gold and silver kit today and qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, maybe even more. Safeguard your savings with this free 2025 gold and silver kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Join the thousands who've already called Gold Co. the number one rated gold company. And you can get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit and qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
That's been true up until this point, but we're seeing such a rapid retreat in these first 45 days. Like I said, it's an abomination. I'm hard-pressed to think of a worse 45 days self-inflicted by any administration in this country's history.
So that's Representative Vindman. If you wanted the opinion of someone that's pretty much mostly irrelevant outside of their district, then that's who you would ask. You would ask, he says it's the worst 45 days in American history. I don't know. I feel pretty great about it. I feel like these are really good days right now. So I can't share that sentiment. You know who else I know thinks that these are really good days? He was just at the border with the VP. It is our Attorney General, Ken Paxton, from the great Republic of Texas. Now, I got to tell you, the general is so easygoing. He's like, yeah, I'm having lunch. Oh, I got to do this interview. Let me just pop over here and, you know, talk to my friend Dana because, you know, we're almost best friends. Let's go ahead and talk. And he's just so easygoing. General, it's good to see you. Appreciate you joining.
It is good to see. How did you read my mind and know that I thought it was a great 45 days?
I could tell. I'm feeling that energy. It's just, it's different. It feels, I feel like people are in a happier mood. They can exhale, you know, because there is nothing so bad as having lived through 4 years of Biden or whoever Biden was being run by.
Well, yeah, just knowing that everything's bad. I mean, whether you look at the border, whether you look at the disaster that happened overseas with Afghanistan and our relationships with China and Iran and all the war in Ukraine, and of course, inflation, runaway spending. I mean, I try to find good in everything. Hard to find any good in the Biden administration, from what I could tell.
Yeah. You were just at the border with SecDef, DNI, and also the governor and the vice president of the United States to talk about the ongoing efforts to get the border secured, because Texas is really led here. What was the reaction of the new cabinet when you all were meeting down there? What was their reaction?
Well, it was pretty amazing. First of all, thank the vice president for actually showing up. We've been waiting a long time for a vice president to show up on the border, and we were glad to have him. So I told him that. And I think it's just remarkable that all they've done is enforce existing law. Everybody talks about, you know, Biden would say, well, I can't do anything because I don't have the right laws in place. Well, you know that when Trump was there before, he enforced existing law and was successful in maintaining a secure border. We know that the same laws applied to Biden, and he somehow couldn't manage those laws and actually ignore those laws and help the cartels do everything they wanted. And then here we are 45 days later. Yesterday was 44 when they showed up, and we're down to like 8,000 something crossings a day versus,
wow,
you know, 140,000 last year in the same month.
That is insane. Down to 8,000. I mean, it's still, I know like reasonable people are like, that's still a high number, but compared to what we've seen previously, it's like a drop in the bucket compared to what it was. What did you make of POTUS going after the cartels with his EO saying these are the cartels that we're going to treat as, you know, essentially terrorists? And then Sheinbaum, the president of Mexico, seemingly coming out and really wanting to defend the cartels against what was being, that was wild. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, the president is targeting the right group, and yeah, Biden targeted the right group. When he came into office, he didn't wait a month or 2 months. First day, he told the world, and of course, he was announcing this to the cartels, we're not going to deport anybody. Why would you announce that unless you wanted the cartels to bring people to the border? And that's exactly what was going on. He enabled the cartels. He enriched the cartels. He made them stronger because they made billions while he was in office. Now the president of the United States, Donald Trump, he recognizes this. He's targeting them as terrorist organizations, which they are. And of course, the cartels have made so much money. They're so influential in the Mexican government. That is an issue that we're going to be dealing with as an ongoing problem, largely because the Biden administration empowered the cartels and made them stronger.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see the difference in there. Maybe it's just gonna, in addition to the decreased crossings, I don't know, maybe we're actually gonna get a handle on the fentanyl coming across the border and the human trafficking. I feel like finally, for the first time in ages, we're in a good position to do that.
Look, this is the reason that he's implementing these tariffs, because the Mexican government is not only aided and abetted the cartels and getting people here and not stopping it, they've also aided and abetted in the cartels moving fentanyl and killing thousands of our kids every year. So that's a really bad thing that the Biden administration encouraged with their actions openly. And it's a really bad thing that the Mexican government is doing. And I'm grateful to the president for looking at the lives of our children over economic interests.
Amen to that. We're talking with Attorney General Ken Paxton of the Great Republic of Texas. General, you also spoke out, and you were very much behind Dr. Ethan Haim, and this is the Texas Children's Hospital. This is the craziest story. I mean, you have a whistleblower who's you know, letting everybody know what is happening at Texas Children's Hospital with regard to this. It's experimentation. I mean, the transitioning, it's just experimentation on minors. And now with the executive orders coming in from the administration, obviously we're on new footing. Tell me about this, because you really helped fight this, and you tweeted about it. You, I think, used everything that you had in your bag to throw with this. How do you feel about it now? I mean, obviously, you know, he's in the right and he's been proven so.
Yeah, they basically, the federal government now has turned and come to a reasonable position, which, think about it, we don't let minors under 18 sign contracts, we don't let them go into the military, we don't let them get married, we don't let them do all kinds of things, we don't let them use tobacco, we don't let them drink alcohol, and yet, somehow, we can give them permission at, you know, 14 or 15 or 16 to change their bodies in a way that's irreparable and dramatically affects their future, when we know that their brain development isn't giving them the capability to make the best decisions that they're going to need to make for their whole lives. So, I mean, this is ridiculous that this is even something that the federal government was engaged in, harming a guy that was exposing basically people that were doing bad things in Texas that under our laws are wrong. So I'm very encouraged by the fact that we have an administration that has some common sense and that actually cares again about children as opposed to, you know, these doctors making a lot of money.
It just was some of the weirdest thing reading about this doctor being persecuted and prosecuted by the federal government for doing no harm, I mean, that's, you know, part of the oath that they take. So I'm so glad that, you know, and of course you were right there fighting the whole time, which brings me to this question. So when are you running for Senate?
So I've done some polling. It's outstanding. I'm looking right now to getting some commitments on the fundraising side, to make sure I have enough money. You know, we all know that John Cornyn has been there for 23 years and hasn't done the things that Texans want him to do, as opposed to doing things that we don't want him to do, like restricting guns, which Joe Biden congratulated him on and Donald Trump criticized him on. And he's not been supportive of building a wall, although he's plenty supportive of giving Ukraine billions of dollars and helping their security. So I am definitely looking at this. I'm just trying to get all my ducks in a row and make sure that I've got the resources I need to go out and take on a guy that's going to have a lot of money
from
Washington, D.C. and what we call the swamp.
So like summer, maybe like late spring, summer, that's when you're probably going to announce then. Yeah.
That's what we're looking at right now.
He's like, no, I'm not even dealing with this. I have one more question before I let you go. We're talking with the attorney general, maybe senator. I tried, you know, I was trying. He's not going to give me an inch on that. That's all right. We'll talk again soon. I wanted to ask you, we talked about Texas Children's Hospital. So that's TCH. And then now there's the THC, a bill that's working its way up. I think it's SB3. And it's talking about the way that I understand it, the criminalization of THC. It's already legal. I mean, obviously it's already legal in Texas, I think, that chemical compound. And I don't ask this as someone who's like a marijuana person. You know how I am with big government, and after everything with COVID and the quote unquote vaccines, I get real nervous about stuff. Where do you stand on this bill? Because we have a lot of people in the audience that are veterans, and I know that a lot of them rely on this as like a non-psychotropic thing. What are your thoughts on this, and what's the understanding behind it?
So I don't know the details of this bill. 5,000 bills going through the House and the Senate. It's hard to keep up with everyone unless it relates something I'm working on, which we have many of those issues. But generally, supportive of things that can help people that are not addictive and that don't do harm. So, you know, if this is a bill that helps our veterans deal with health issues in a way that's not, you know, detrimental to their health, I'm all for it.
So you're not like against the THC stuff. And I know different states are grappling with that issue.
I'm against things that hurt. Like, you know, I don't like to see things that are allowed that our kids get addicted to and end up being long-term harm. But if we're talking about medical use for something that does something good for these veterans that are maybe in pain, like I've been in pain before, and when you're in that situation, you may be pretty desperate to resolve that pain. And if there's something that can do that, I want people to really get help.
Yeah, and definitely. And I think people are I think they pay way more attention to these types of issues now especially after everything that we saw under the Biden administration with the vaccine mandates and, you know, everything. They're just, you know, people get a little, I think they start asking questions now when the government gets involved with consumption of different things. And then it becomes like, I think it's separate from like the deregulation of marijuana as a whole, I guess, because of how it's delivered. That's a discussion for another time. But I'm glad to hear you say that if it's helpful and if it helps with veterans, then that's something that you're in favor of. General Paxton. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Well, I was going to say, absolutely. We got to take care of our veterans. They've given so much to our country. If they're in pain, we got to figure out how to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have you back, especially as, you know, you get closer to making a decision on that Senate race, General.
Absolutely. How about this? I'll come talk to you first.
Yes, you heard it. I'm going to hold you to that. That is a promise made. We're going to play it relentlessly. That is a promise made. Attorney General Ken Paxton, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Good to see you. All right. Have lunch.
Have a great day. Okay.
Take care. Our partners that help bring you the program. It is our friends over at Super Beats, the Super Barine product. It's a new product from, newish product from Super Beats. And it's now available at Sam's Club. Metabolism and healthy blood sugar levels are very important concerning overall health. And so this is why they introduced Super Barine. It's a plant-based supplement that's formulated with an ingredient that helps to support your metabolism and helps to support blood sugar levels. It's nearly three times more effective than your diet and exercise alone. These are real results. It's super convenient. One easy to swallow capsule a day helps you to do more to support those metabolic health and blood sugar levels. And these are clinically researched ingredients. The berberine that they use has a nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine used by doctors from the makers of the Super Beats Heart Chews. So head to your nearest Sam's Club, save on Super Beats Heart Chews and the new Super Barine from Human. You'll love the way it makes you feel.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is why I love the crew on our program, because we're talking about different things. And I'm like, yeah, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy running for governor in Ohio came up and I had read something. Don't laugh at me, dear heavens. I read something about like a football guy who's, you know, also considering a gubernatorial run in 2026. And I was trying to remember his name and Google it. And I'm talking to Kane and Steve and I was like, yeah, he's a football guy. I think he's a player. I don't know. He's a football guy. And I Googled it and then I was like, oh, it's Jim Tressel. And they both exploded like, oh, Jim Tressel. Like he's their dad. You know, they both were, Kane and Steve were like, yeah, Jim Tressel. Like, yeah, he was just over the other night. Like that level of like knowledge and almost excitement.
Yeah, we had cigars.
Yeah. And then you guys were telling me about Ohio State being super popular, even outside of Ohio, because apparently Tressel was the former football coach there. So he's, judging by your guys' reaction, he's a very popular gentleman.
It's hard to think that Vivek would win if Tressel's in there and running for governor, you know, against Vivek. I would have a hard time believing that Vivek would win that.
That's fascinating to me. So see the confluence of football and politics. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you're in that, you've been in that role, and everybody's loved you and you've delivered for them in some ways, it sort of is. Yeah, I guess it's a little bit like politics in a way. And then you take that favorability over to a gubernatorial run. Golly, the earned media on that is insane. Exactly. That is crazy. You almost become unbeatable. That's going to be very interesting if he gets in, because I think he's, they keep, there was a, like one day ago, NBC4, they were speculating about his potential, Jim Tressel's potential run. So far, he hasn't said anything. When they never say anything, like when we had Paxton on, we're like, you're going to run for Senate. Dude, he's running. Come on. God love, he's going to come on and tell him on the show, but you knew, he's like, it's a formality at this point for him saying, well, we're going to wait and, you know, and explore. That's going to be a fascinating primary. The primary will be the general in that regard. But Tressel, he was appointed, Mike DeWine, blah, blah, blah. He said previously he was too busy to contemplate a run for governor. But now, I don't know. He's just seems like it's something that he may consider. But he's being very tight-lipped about it. Do you think he would be a good governor, Jim Tressel? I mean, if he's loved as a coach, that must mean he did something right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're looking like you pretty much headed off a nice team effort there, right? And when you're in Congress, you want to be able to play along with your team and those against you in a way that's strategic for your constituents.
So, Steve, for your age demo, like, how do you compare Ramaswamy to Tressel?
Well, I was a little before. It was a little early 2000s. Tressel was around because he left and Urban Meyer showed up, and Urban Meyer was really successful too. But for a lot of those NFL guys, Urban Meyer was their guy. I mean, sorry, Jim Tressel was their guy. He was one of the best coaches of all time. So we'll see.
Ooh, interesting. So that would be a very interesting primary too, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that's why he's getting in it. Ramaswamy's getting in it so early. Kind of stake out your claim because that's kind of what you do, at least in the state level. Yeah, very interesting indeed. So tomorrow, we got some fun stuff planned. So John Burke, who is a commentator, and he's involved. I just find this fascinating, this whole thing of veterans with PTSD and then trying to have like more holistic approaches. And he's involved in a lot of the, I keep wanting to say TCH. There's a lot of letters there. The THC,
yeah, THC.
That I'm turning into my mother, the pot chemical. Anyway, he's been pretty outspoken about that. We're going to talk with him. And, of course, we're following up with all these EOs because POTUS is expected to sign some more EOs today, particularly as it pertains to the Department of Education. So we're going to have all of that for you as well. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It looks like Columbia professor Basil Smickle. Is it Smickle?
What a
Smickle?
Name.
I know. Basil Smickle.
Basil Smickle.
Well, this is...
You have to be a professor.
He's convinced this is the issue. Listen.
There are people who are charged with trying to find savings. So, yes, it's an attack on government, but it's also an attack on this government. What I mean by that is it's an attack on this government that used to be headed by a black man. It's an attack on this government that almost elected a black woman to the highest office in the land.
Holy cow, talk about the yoga stretch to inject race into the argument.
Yeah, that's no good. No bueno. That's no. Folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a great rest of your evening. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff up there. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow. I'll be on Waters tonight.